Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Chapter 13, verse 32. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves for the work for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, just to set the issue before we highlight the aspect of today's instruction that I sent, God is asking us to do it. I will actually be dealing with watching for the souls of men. Watching for the souls of men. That's what we are going to highlight out of that passage. But may I quickly bring forth on that Bible verse some few things that we can quickly put aside as peripheral issues, and yet they are very critical for us to do well. The first thing I saw, and which I want to just comment to you, is that even without us soliciting for obedience, even without us soliciting for men to submit to our leadership, which is needed for us to discharge our duties very, very effectively, God has already undertaken to handle that on our behalf. God has already put in place, not only in this Bible, but in so many other verses of the scripture, to make sure that men do not interfere with the discharge of our mandate. And if anybody tries to interfere with it, you can be sure that God has not left them. God has stood. God has defended us and to them all the time. You remember God will say, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." God is the one that will go ahead. I remember when Aaron and Miriam gathered people together and they were speaking against Moses. They were saying, is he the only man of God? Is he the only one that the Spirit of God uses? Moses did not need to talk yet when the Lord Almighty appeared and called them, he summoned Miriam, he summoned Aaron, he said, "Why are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses, who is the meekest of all men? The man with whom I speak mouth to mouth." So the first thing I'm noting here is that God is doing everything possible to make your leadership mandate easily discharged. Why is God doing that? Thou, O man of God, that you will not have any excuse on the day of reckoning. What is God going ahead to instruct, to obey your leaders, to bring those spiritual leaders, submit to them continually, recognizing the authority over you. Why? So that the ministry of watching over the souls of men could be made easy. If God has done it, sir, we have no excuse not to do well. So can I tell you what that means? On the day of accounting, you will not be able to stand before God and say, "Oh God, the reason why I did not discharge my ministry well is because my church members are doing it." My church members, they did not obey me. God says, don't say that. Don't go that way. Don't do that at all. Anybody who disobeyed you, I defeat you. Anybody who sat in their room to backfight against you, I dealt with them. In order to make the ministry of mercy so easy, whenever the people passed in the city and they were never against him, the Lord will appear. Do you know that when several of them died in their prison, it was because they murmured against Moses? And God said, "Why are you not afraid that you are murmuring against my father?" The protection that God provides, the immunity that God provides for his servants, for them to be able to discharge their ministry well, is a debt for accountability. So please mark that. So may I first note that when we look at the way God speaks, and I say not only in this verse, but in so many other verses, you see God saying, "You younger, submit to your leaders in the Lord." What again did God, was God doing in order to make our ministry possible? Look at it. He said, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they work for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with God." Again, did you see what God was doing? God was making sure that the environment of our ministry, the environment of the discharge of our mandate, is a joyful environment. Can you imagine God going ahead to instruct the people and say, "Look, submit yourself. Don't make their work difficult. Let them have joy ministering to you. Let them have joy working over your soul." God was making sure that even this stewardship over the souls of men is creating a joyful, a conducive atmosphere for us to discharge it. So that when we'll be giving account, you may be able to say, "God, the reason why I could not do well is that the whole environment was a problem. I actually don't have any job. I work out family. I see family. Because the people don't just want it." But they don't do that. Don't say that. Don't say that. I taught them to make your condition comfortable. And instructed them. You know that there are many instructions that God gave church members that sometimes I'm sitting and saying, God, you are instructing church members so that we will do well. Remember what he said to them? He said, "If a man has ministered to you spiritual things, what is big in you ministering to me, what? Your physical happiness. So that is why you see, Pastor, whenever the people went to farm and it's time for harvest, the tallest one in their town, what they bring it up? They bring it to church. When they bring it to church, where does he find all of them? You see, when they are going to grow so well, and they are looking at this big idiot, when they want to sweat and eat it, something will talk to them and say, why do you defame the law? Another law will be set up with all your cattle and all. It's not for the man of God. And then they will tie the neck and they are dragging it. And then they will tie it in your compound. And then they will come in and they say, sir, in obedience to the word of God and in recognition of your ministry in our lives, this our goat has produced this one and we thought it's meant for you. And they will call Mama, they said, and this is the seed for it. They will also bring an envelope with some money to put soup on top of it, and they will bring some tuber of yam, they said, so that they can pan yam. God has instructed members to make your ministry conducive. You cannot be eating the first fruits. You cannot be collecting the dust and not do well. Every time you are eating those things, please don't say, I tell you, do not eat it again. Every time you are eating it, don't forget. Don't forget. You are adding to your accountability. Heaven is nodding his head and saying, yeah, let him eat it. We will meet us back here. What does God do that? So that you may do it with God. Can you imagine? Until recently, if you are passing on the road, and policemen were stopping people checkpoint, and once they saw you in the clerical dress, or they saw your family, they said, clergy, what did the policeman do? He said, welcome, sir, pray for us. The best way that is, by the way, they said, you, come there. My Lord, God bless you, sir.
What is God doing there? Stay for us.
To be trust of our mandate, now be in a conducive atmosphere, we may do it with God. I believe that there are so many, many glorious things that God has made available to us, so that we might do it with God.
See, the Holy Spirit is pointing to the church members. In that verse, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. But that is unprofitable for you. God was telling the members, don't let the man of God run at you. You will not be profited by that. So can we imagine how God has so much protected us that the people, because they don't want to run into damage, they don't want to make a problem for their life, they want profit for their life, see how they guide against any clash with us. How each one of them are very careful that you will not be aggrieved against them, because they know that when you do it with grief, they will not be profited. How did God do all of them? So that you might be able to address the ministry, to focus on your calling without the past. Now, God has done all of this for one singular purpose, that they may do it with joy and not with pain, for that is comfortable for you. This Bible that I'm reading, you can put it in different places. You will see God talking in to Timothy says, in such a people, the elders that are serving, they are worthy of double honor. So, may I submit to you that the atmosphere, the environment, the conditions of our ministry, God has taken care of, so that on the day of accountability, there will be no reason to say, I couldn't do well because of this, God will stand up and say, no, sir, don't say that. I actually instructed the people, and those who violated it, I punished them. Those who took me for granted, I dealt with them. Those who misbehaved themselves, I did not allow them to sleep in the night. What did that do all of that? Are you a sacred child? No. It's because I want you to discharge your mandate accurately, excellently, and with right purpose. So, having dealt with all of those things that we are doing to start, may I find out, has God not made your ministry, the discharge of your leadership, has God not done as much as possible to make it conducive? Has He done so? Please, let me hear your voice. Okay. So the only thing that we know now is for us to face our call. The only thing that remains now is for us to look at how to discharge it and discharge it with us today. So I will now take that scripture now at death with the territory and no more concerned about what God says to those people. I'm concerned about what we were brought into leadership to do with. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you, for they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare, as men who will have to render an account of their thoughts. Now, I just want to, I read this and amplify that because I want to see if we could amplify the little word that King James has put, but they work for your souls. And when you use the word, they work for your souls, as though they must give account. The word work, what does it actually imply? Working for the soul of man. There are few scriptures that we will be dealing with that will bring this out before I will draw more wisdom from the First Corinthians and the ministry of Paul that the Lord has already introduced to us this morning. The word work. Itself will be defined as a diligent sensitivity to take note of the minute details of movement, of any form of activity around an object that is valuable. Please take note of what I said. The word works. If God is talking about, I set you as a workman, if you are speaking, when you set a man as a workman, do you set a man on a work over something that is not valuable? If, for example, look at these stones that are scattered around here. Will you particularly tell someone and say, keep working this stone? Watch it. Will you make sense? Where will you say to yourself, oh, where is it going? Where is the stone going that you are asking me to work it? So the word work, the intensity of working, the sensitivity of taking the note of the slightest movement or any activity around an object that demands working must be because of the value of it. So let us note that we will not work properly if we do not know what is the value of where we are to work. I don't know whether I'm setting well. You cannot work Mamadisha. Please. What this waste paper basket for me? What is very well? What is? Keep working and make sure nothing goes wrong with it. How long will you be able to do it? The trouble is that the first thing in her mind is what is in the waste paper basket? To what? Once she has determined in her mind that the thing is not as valuable, her attitude to working it changes. Am I correct? But let's imagine that as we bring a very costly laptop with an envelope containing about 150,000 naira. And I say, Mama Tisha, I am quickly going to that other side. What do you think for me? The same person that I asked to watch waste paper basket, I'm not asking her to help me watch a very costly laptop and 150,000 that I'm just put together. And I say, please, watch it for me. Quickly dashing out there and coming back. Why do you work? When everybody is moving around, what does he do? He will sit down there and say, God, you need help. I must watch this. So the strength of a rich man can never be higher than the value attached in his money to what he was mandated to work. Are we together? So the first matter today, before you will be able to describe your ministry effectively, so that you will be given account accurately, it can only begin if you have a correct value for the value of a soul. It is the valuation or the value you put on a soul that honestly determines how you describe your ministry. You cannot be watching for the people that know the way God is demanding and feeling the value of that soul. That's what strikes you. If you get value of the spirit of men under us, that we must first of all understand if we are going to minister with accountability in you. Maybe one of the things that is making things a bit difficult is that maybe quality. We do not value the sacrifice of man higher than our church building. I want you to be open to me this morning. Look at the reason why we have engaged most of our time, most of our administration, most of our ministry time, most of our capacity. Would you work as made us to spend more time on administrating things, material, money, and structures? Maybe, I'm saying maybe I'm not definite, just want to suggest, could it be that these things are more valuable to us than the souls of man? Could it be that men are only numbers? We are only counting numbers. And simply because it enhances our statistics. It makes us to see, yes, now I am a big minister. Over 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 numbers. The people think that when we come to a local church, we are only concerned with the members of it. That's just how many of them came. And once we get numbers, and we quickly use that to multiply time and effort, we seem to have greater chance of it, thank God. So what of the building? Maybe the first thing that we must do with if we are going to give proper account is to be able to know the value of the soul. Which I really pray that the Holy Spirit might bring to me and you in the course of this time. Such that our attitude to ministry will immediately change because we are now looking at the value of the soul. We are going to spend a bit of time thinking if we can define not just watchfulness, if we can define the value of souls. And I want to undertake to do that very simply and quickly within the space of time we have before we deal with how do we watch for the souls of men, as men who will give account for them. Let's begin by looking at the value of God himself as priest upon souls of men. Just look at what has God placed as a value upon the souls of men. Since I am trusting that I can depend on your Bible knowledge, I will not be fasting and fasting because of space of time. I will just be speaking the things that I believe you already know. Go with me. Go with me. So, the book of Matthew, Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And verse 25, 26. 25, 26. Matthew 16. But who said that? We throw this down for a little. And who said that? We use this down for my soul. So I find it. So what is a man profited? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man gain in exchange for his soul? Let's spend a bit of time looking at verse 26 in order to see Jesus' own value. The valuation is putting upon souls of men that is asking us to what? He said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? From that statement, what do we understand by that? As he could say, the entire whole world. If it were possible for somebody to gain the whole world with all the mineral resources, with all the abundant things, economic things that are in the whole world, apart from the land that appreciates every year, and Jesus was saying, what does it profit a man? He begins to hold the world and listens to those souls. So, what does that mean? When you put one soul on a scale, on a balance, and you put the whole resources of the whole world on the other side of the scale, which one we are willing? Is full. Let me ask you. Does a soul value more than everything in this house? Huh? Talk about this. If a soul depends and we have the entire this house, have we not got it? Was God going to congratulate me that a soul lost, got lost? But despite that, there are many things to say. I'm asking a question. Dr. Nicholas, when God said, that's all, we did not suffer. Will God say that? So, that's the first thing I want you to see. Second same time a soul has got lost into hell. Are you hearing me? You yourself knew that this man has gone to hell. But now, you say, well, even though he has gone to hell, we thank God he left out of it. At least his money can be put in the gospel. Is that a correct dilution? That's the first thing I'm noting. The second thing I'm noting in that verse, which I want you to speak quickly with me, Jesus said, a word that a man gives in exchange of his soul. So, again, what does that mean, please? What does that mean? That a soul has no equal. Oh my God, are you hearing me? That a soul has no what? Equal. There is nothing worthy an exchange. May God give me understanding how to say what I want to say. You see, there was a time that Daniel money was so devalued that when you take $1, you get about 1 million students. There was a time that Nigerian money was so valuable that 1 naira was exchanging for something like $2. Suddenly, the exchange rate changed. And $1 is going for 160 naira. Was too easy. Because no matter the exchange rate, there's an exchange. Are we together? But we say the same thing. We should not ask. We should not exchange for his soul. Everything comes together. There's no exchange for his soul. There is nothing anybody can bring and take the risk in exchange for my soul, and it will be a good business. That's the second issue of evaluation. As far as Jesus is concerned, there is no exchange for his soul. There is nothing. You see, what I'm dealing with in this second aspect is not about, it's not about value. It's not about size. The first thing he does with this is, he does not gain the whole world. And with this is also, if we make profit, we know that it's not a profit. That means, in terms of quantity, in terms of size of materials, none can buy a soul. But now we are coming to the second point, that a soul has no exchange. In all the earth and in all eternity, a soul has nothing with which to exchange it. Brothers, sisters, if I go this country and I said, peace in the world of Nigeria. This gives me the damage in the whole of Nigeria. Nobody can repair it. And there is no spare part with which you can exchange it. And I think it is damaged. The only place you could get it would be in Australia. How will you watch that particular equipment? Why? Because you know that if anything goes wrong with it now, no mechanic, no repair, nowhere to get any spare. And if I tell you with that, you are going to well. And he's taking the board, a digital recorder. Some years ago, I said mistake. I tell you what. I am coming from, I don't know where I travel, and I landed in Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam. And I was going, and I went to this shop, and I saw compact digital recorder. It was audio data. It was something different from radio cassette. It is not chrome cassette. It was digital recorder. If you cut like this, it will pick it new. If somebody is sitting there and I'm here, it will enter me. The old thing was, it came with remote control. And the tape is a digital kind of tape. You just put it in. It's wonderful. When I brought it, oh, me and my wife, did you not celebrate? He said, this thing has solved the problem of recording. Ah, it was wonderful. I carried it like egg. The first challenge I had when all the things I bought finished, I spent all over. We went to Alaba Market, we went to Nisa Market, we went to any market, electronic market. When they look at me, they say, they've never seen this before. It has not come to Nigeria. It has not come to Nigeria. Neither. I declare that the only place you could get this market to be replaced or to be bought, you have to go back to Isa. How did I handle that thing? Did I record any useless thing with it? No way. The only brought it up is special recording, and because I know that once these tapes are finished, everything is finished. I was hoping that when I travel again, I will get Amsterdam again. Can you imagine me buy an equipment that if I just want to buy a tape, and each of these tapes, they will record 60 minutes, the longest recorded 90 minutes. And me, in those days, I don't think I've changed yet. I put minimum of 5 hours as a goal. Where would I want to get me tape to use my recorder? Unfortunately, I got to. That's the lie. As I mentioned, I'm changing. Hallelujah. When we got, I got to Amsterdam, I went traveling to the shop. He looked at your story. This particular mode, this model has been cancelled. Nothing to repair it, nothing to buy with it, nothing. You can thank me to a special service. We can handle it. But can I tell you a problem? There is no exchange for a soul. there is no excuse for his soul. Which I'm not saying there are no exchange for souls. That's what I said. The Bible says there is no excuse for his soul. What does that mean? If there are 20 souls in your congregation, are you going to be? And they are sitting side by side. May I inform you that each soul has no option. The truth of a soul does not exist for his sin God. Was asking a question, with what will a man exchange for his soul? No exchange. So if I have 50 members, these are 50 individual inexchangeable souls. We are a fire and sin. Please hear me. Sometimes, oh my God, sometimes we don't understand the value. That's why maybe we do what we do. Jesus Christ told a parable that I have not recovered from. I don't understand it. And I want you to listen to it and depend on your Bible knowledge. In Luke 15, Jesus told a parable that a man cast 100 sheep. One was lost. What did he do? He left the 99 out. Let me ask you a question. Not what I was speaking. Is that with me? How could you leave 99? If one greater than 99, let me tell you. In the valuation of the number for souls, 99 good brothers. 99 good brothers does not exceed the one that is lost. Oh my God, you are not understanding. You know one of the things that most people realize they have people don't come to do. Other people are coming. No, I can't tell you. Other people are coming. They are coming. Please, for those that are not coming. So he said, "You will not be my friend." And you respect charity and the one that is left. Now see, what is the reason for that left here? What do you need 99 to do for one? He said, because 99 is not equal to 100. And 99 that appear is not an equal exchange for this one that is lost. I don't know whether you are hearing that. What am I saying to you? Look at your husband. Your husband is not an exchange for you. Your husband, his value is great. But his value cannot exchange you. So for anyone's child that is lost, is a colossal loss. The 1,000 that did not get lost do not in any way convert the heart of God for the one that is lost. The reason is because it's not an extreme. So when the word of God says, "Let me, son of man, I have set you as a watchman over Israel." You know what is put in my heart, and I want you to hear me deeply. Why would God say, "If I tell you to warn a sinner man, and you do nothing"? What of the other righteous people that have been speaking to and they are changed and they are standing with God? Why is he going to hold you to ransom for one? The reason is because that one. 99 cannot express. May the Lord give you understanding. May I inform you what is the value of Jesus to pass over your soul? That was one passage I read. But another passage that makes me afraid of his valuation of souls and is making me to ask, have I got a correct understanding of the value of what I have been asked to work? If it was a waste paper basket that I told Mama to work, and I said, "Hey, Mama, if this one is wet, we will hold you responsible," she may look at it and say, "It's okay. These things are not time either. Let me follow my husband to that other side." And they go. When they come back, my waste paper basket is wet. I say, "Mama, what did you mean that to me?" He said, "Is that why you are shouting? Give me 5 minutes. I will replace it. Even with a better life. I can just send somebody to market, buy me 2 of that, and give the regulator a first party. No problem." If it was a brand new laptop, 150,000 came on, and what did you say? And she went away, and somebody carried it. I said, "Mama, you are not going back home. You know, I told you this picture. 400,000. The 150,000 I put on top of it, we need it. And transport money to go to where we bought it. She will consult with my Lord Bishop. They will look left and right. Painful, painful, painful." So, well, if they are trying to be difficult, we write them a check. 500,000. You can write a check. How much did you write to cover your life? The whole world cannot buy it. Even if you have the whole world, there is no exchange. There's a difference from, "I don't have money to buy." There's a difference from, "I have plenty of money to buy, but I cannot see what to buy." That's not the problem. Now, but the next thing that touches me about the value Jesus gives upon us is that he does not value people at our age and spiritual status. I want you to be watching this matter. He does not value souls by their age or by their what? Social status. What do I mean? Jesus has been wondering, and some children were brought. You remember some women were bringing some children, but Jesus will lay hands on them. You remember? What did the senior man of God, Peter, and the apostle, what did they do? He said, No. Get your time for babies. No, we don't need children here. They're looking at it. People are not going to speak. Because to them, they value the adults more than children. Do you give that question in our churches today? So Jesus Christ did that time. And so, therefore, do them to come because of that is the kingdom of God. In our kids, it's but if any man will put a standing block on the part of this little child who believes in me, listen now, if you are better, you are not young. If you are better, that a healthy millstone will be tied on his neck. And he will be thrown into the sea so that he will never flow. For doing what? Excuse me, for doing what? For only thinking a little time. Does a little time have such a value before God? Huh? Answer that. That people when sometimes we are doing statistics, like those people that counted those that ate food, they say we counted 5,000 men, we didn't count women and children. Do you know that that is the normal bias of the wrong valuation? Eh? We value men more than women. We value women. Amen. That was a figure. But you don't value them, it's it. Do you know why? That little child, if he has a soul, the soul of that child is invaluable, has no excuse, and as for the soul of a big man is more valuable than the soul of this small child. Wait until you go to heaven. When God will be telling you as well, telling you, make a mistake. How does he value this? He doesn't value them by their riches. It's wonderful that even though I'm telling you that, oh, some of us, we don't really care for souls, we don't care for souls. It's not true, it's not true, some of us, we really care for souls, though. But which one do we care for? Big souls. Those big pieces with coins, silver coins in their mouth. If you hear that he was 15 like this, you call him 25. I just want to check on your doing, in our pastoral meeting this morning, we have just been praying for you. So I will just come and see you. There are some meetings that I'm calling other people to come and check you. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God will help us. You are still valuable to die now. You will not die. You will be. I bind the spirit of pain. How can you do that? You are the backbone of this ministry. You are the one that God has used to give us meaning in this ministry. God, hallelujah. I know you value some things like that. It's you, brother. The value that God places on souls is not about their physical position. It's not about their substance. It's just because they are a soul. So you are surprised that Jesus went and told the story because he was dealing with the value of a soul, of the weak man and Lazarus. Do you remember that story? And he painted the story of the Lazarus that nobody would value at all. Unfortunately, when they were injured, came and carried the Lazarus. I know, and I don't know. What do they call them now? You mean those undertakers? Undertakers, and I don't know. They came and carried the big man. They were throwing his cross down, dancing with him, taking photographs with him. He lied in church for about 24 hours. Everybody was there. He was landed in hell. He had no value to talk about. In fact, when he got to eternity, even a single drop of water, he was not qualified for. As everyone told him, he said, you, in your lifetime, you are seeking all your good. There was not even a single drop of water left here for you. This man, no value in eternity. What is the value of the soul that God has put in our hands? Their valuation does not depend on their spiritual position. So I want you to be thinking deeply. Be looking at the way you are watching the soul. Be looking at the way you are discharging the ministry. Be looking at what you are doing, particularly about the man that God has put on you. Aren't you so passionate? Running around from deep down. They occupy you. Even if they gave you 24-hour notice that there is a barrier of their uncle somewhere that you are the one to put, you can't put every other engagement. Your parents are waiting to be fired. Because your value for soul is wrong. Keep up your body first. Continue to remind me that it does not look at the way we look. He came into a meeting and he saw one widow woman that nobody would have given attention. Jesus sat there and watched her and singled her out. How did you buy this soul? May I inform you, his valuation of soul is completely independent of what those souls used to do, their terrible sin. Does not devalue a soul in the past. Please hear me, brother. Do you know how sometimes some rock boys come into church with their hair scattered and the awareness all around. And the first attitude we have, you tell us, get in the Lord. Get in the Lord. It's a church for different people. Do you know that those that don't have good dress to wear in our country will soon make their life useless? That they will not have. Because to us, they are looking for different good dress. Now look at this. If this is not the house of one man called Simon, all this will have been leading from the word of God and the pleasure and the Bible matter. This was a Luke chapter 7. When we went into this house, there was this big man, Simon, who invited Jesus for a dinner. And the man must have been so overwhelmed with himself. But there was this woman, whom everybody called a terrible sinner, who noticed that Jesus had come. And she came, and she couldn't afford water to wash Jesus' feet, so she used her fear. She was weeping and batting the feet of Jesus with her fear and using her hair to clean. And Simon sat on the table with some of his friends and said, look at this. If this man were a prophet, if he had known that this is one of these, this is one of these useless men who drop out, if not that this Jesus came and all these kind of people are following him here, can you allow this kind of person to enter? So while he was talking, Jesus still knew his heart. So Simon, I have a question for you. When I came here, you did not give me water to wash my feet. You did not give me oil to rub my feet. No towel to clean my hand. But still, this man is like him. He has not thought. And why was Jesus allowing such a soul that could have been a dropout? Because it's valuation of souls. Many times we value people because of what they are. Some of us, because maybe you came from a different background and maybe you are not a terrible sinner according to you, you thought you are more valuable to God. Except their death, their lives are being wrecked. We look at them as a sin. It affects our outreach to them. And Jesus gave that woman a space. That woman became a disciple and follower. And Jesus committed one that thing into their hands. Will I conclude on this route? What is the value for what we have been asked to work? The value of the soul. The final value of a soul that has been appreciated. Not only that he does not have an exchange, not only that the Lord does not meet them according to their physical status, their educational attainment, or their age, he does not also even meet them by what the devil has done on their life. Noah was a terrible harlot. Up to today, they still call her harlot Lena. Even though God has forgiven her long ago, they call her a harlot. But see where God went and keep the harlot. Where God put her? Where did God put her? Put her right in the genealogy of Jesus. As you read your Bible there, when you notice that that woman was actually the mother of Boaz that produced Obed, that brought about Jacob, that produced David, that brought about Jesus. God does not value a soul with their power. We value people generally with their power. We don't see a creature. God's value of a soul is about the eternal creature that lies behind you. How can you finish your soul? But God has not finished it. The fact that you don't have understanding of the right time. Can we think you have to wait? Because we're going to pray and we're going to go and be alone with God this morning. I will have spent the other value of the soul that I saw in the life and understanding of the Lord Jesus that makes me to watch and to look at them all the time is that we see every soul qualified to collect his own precious life. Did you hear me? Jesus is the making of a soul in such that he says, if I die to save this one soul, it's not a waste. Are we together? So what did you notice? Jesus was in a very long, highly profound photograph. He was moving. People were looking. When he saw Zacchaeus on the tree, one soul that everybody was very proud of money, the useless man. The tax collector was squandering people's money, forgetting, letting them perish. But because Jesus does not value souls in the land of their past atrocities, how does he value souls? He values them in the light of their eternal future. He surrendered what he was doing. He said, today, I'm going to sleep in their house. When it is time when we have more space to deal with, how do we dispatch this minister as those who will give account? We'll be looking at the diligence of the kind of ministry we must dispatch at God's house. And so, Jesus, he left everything and he went as well to the house of a man who already called it to. And he said, this is the salvation has come to your house. Why did Jesus do that? Maybe to show me that, listen, there is no, if a soul leader to be saved, and the only way to get him to save him is to go and live in his house, no matter how big we are, it's one. Jesus, he left the crowd. And he went as well in the house of Zacchaeus, just to take him from that. Do we value strength? And for it to work, our own value for them. But the value I see Jesus placing upon his soul. If you have this truth, that if I die for this one, it's okay. If it is for this one's soul, I travel all the way to this village. And he said, this one, what are you here for? I say, I'm not here for the maximum, I have no problem. I just came to see this one's soul. Look at how many disciples that Jesus chose who believed. When he resurrected, they were jubilating. There was a promise that said, unless I see, I will not believe. What did Jesus do? Talk to me. He came to me. He had already gone home. He had already breathed upon them. Has ever got peace unto you as a power coming into the world, so stand by. Then there was this demon that said, unless I put my hand in his finger, I will not believe. And for his sake, the Lord of resurrection came back. And when you met them, to be sure that he didn't come for everybody, he just came for this one man who needed to be helped. The young man came out. Said, now reach out your hand here. The young man put it. Bring your hand here. Bring your hand here. Bring your hand here. Are you now satisfied? The young man said, I said, my Lord and my God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What does he mean? You find it and 20 have already believed. What does he say? If they die, don't tell us. Does not believe. Does he reveal the glory of Jesus? But that's not how he did. He came for one man. He went everywhere for that one man. And when I tell you, when I began to understand the value of his soul, it became clear to me that God can send me back all from here and here across the river. Send me to the jungle of Cameroon just to rescue my soul. When it comes to winning a soul, Jesus does not count how much. But can I inform you? Your kindness bottle is not evangelical. You must work to think and work to start your bottle. Your kindness bottle is not evangelical. The highest percentage of your body is not mission. So there's something else that shows the value. As you pray with me, God, I don't want to stop without bringing you to the last point. And the last point will be where I will ask you to write, you will carry your chair, and you're going to be alone and set it up. I learned again and again from the Word of God, and I see that though he talks with our souls everywhere, the first soul, the first critical soul, there must not be left. It's your soul. away to God. So when you read the word of God again and again, he told him what he said. Take him to yourself and to those who fear you. In doing this, you will both fill him yourself and those who fear you. So that God, as the wonderful as he is, you know what he says? He says, I am fighting what I'm doing the earth. I put my body under subjection, not after I have caught many others. I myself must be ordered, disqualified, and stand apart. May I ask a very simple question? How is your soul? If your soul rests on the feet for heaven, you know the career of a preacher is that nobody can confront our own souls. Nobody will not go to your soul. Did you have your power come today? Nobody is available actually to ask you. Are you living right with God? The higher you go, the more isolated you are up there. If you don't look for people to look into your life, nobody does. If your soul seeks for laughter, dealing with your human mind, your soul, that if Jesus was not intervening, you might be among the many that Jesus spoke about say, in that day. He gave that accountability. Nothing shall say unto me. In your name, we did what? In your name, we prophesied. In your name, we performed miracles. And you will say, depart from me. All ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Those people that we serve, I will say, these are people who preach. These are people who perform miracles. These are people who do many great works. These cathedrals. Is it the time I'm passing? And I see big buildings. And when I come here and I see the way they are building this thing, I keep reminding myself of all these things. They are for this. Can't carry them anywhere. Is my soul fit for heaven? Let's talk together. Are you struggling with some secrets? Don't see yourself value your soul. What are you planning to exchange your soul with? Do you think ministry is a correct exchange for your soul? Please talk to me. Do you imagine that popularity? Here is a preacher here, is the man of God here, is the bishop here, is not an exchange for your eternal soul? Get all the cars. Pray for the value of your own soul. As we call on God together, may I request this night that let 31 people if it has no sense, if there is nowhere to return it, and come from the peace of the Lord. And it is a soul that is crying that once the time is up, nothing can be done about it again than to face eternity. Can we pray and say, God, may I not be lost inside the limit? May I not live my own way while I'm showing other people their way? May I, oh God, not be a leader, even though I gain everything else that people can talk about. Father, the condition of myself. And have you devalued souls of men? Have you thrown away people? But for heaven's sake, if you are better, we put a heavy stone on your neck and put you inside your head. Because you are treated like a soul that God has saved. I believe this morning was an opportunity to make things right. Opportunity to say to God, give me another chance. I believe that yes, even though some people are gone, and we cannot bring them back, we can tell God, Lord, give me another chance to make this happen. Would you like to please pray with me? We will pray for 2-3 minutes, then you will take your chair and go and be anywhere inside the hall, under the tree. Thank God it's more raining. Look at you, know we go for the next 2 minutes and stretch pieces and stretch everything. Lord Jesus, I ask this moment that as we begin to deal with watching for the sake of you, the watchman will not be effective, even ignorant of the value of the object we have asked to watch. You will not be so careful if you think the value of what is working is not worth dying for. You think even if it is worth, I can replace it. But these stories that you are placing before us, they are the ones invaluable for us. Irreplaceable, no exchange. We have wrongly measured men. We measure them by their age, we measure them by their status, we measure them with thought that they are more important because they look important in the world. And I ask you this morning, forgive us. Give us another chance. Another time to do it right. In the name of Jesus. As we will break out, O God, to God, speak your faith. Will you please reach out to us this morning? Will you please address our inner man? Create something inside of us that will change our attitude onto our core and onto our ultimate. Lord, I pray that it will come vividly in our habits, very vividly in our individual habits, the 20, the 30, the 1,000 souls, but they are not just numbers. They are irreplaceable, inexchangeable souls. That 900 cannot make do with the 100 that is lost. Because they don't replace. Each one stands on his own. Only ghost will you draw issues for us and cut our souls. Thank you, Father. before we will conclude this prayer, brothers and God's servants. We are in the presence of the Lord. We see our right and our duty. We understand what we have done over the years. But we have provided this altar this morning as a place where we can reconcile, where we can make things right and say, Lord, I didn't understand this. I have destroyed my life, my ministry, the way I find it convenient. I gave attention to those who had money. I discovered those who did not give. I ran with you and preoccupied myself with them. Neglected the cry of those that needed me most because I did not value them. Lord, have mercy on me. Or is it that even inside you yourself, you have had serious struggle to the power of sin? For with Jesus, who died on the cross, has been saying, you are so valuable that I died for you. I can't see you waste away. And the Lord is providing this altar this night, where you can say, have mercy on me. Can I please request that those that the Holy Spirit is clearing their hearts already, until you are the first soul to be helped, you are the first soul to be delivered, you are the first soul to be recovered, you are the first soul to be set loose. And you say, Lord, let me not meet this altar. Can I request you just to raise your altar? I said, Lord, cut my heart. If there is a very good day, God is saying, it's another altar to make things happen. If you don't say, those who put a stumbling block on a little time. If you are better after they were drowned than to face the kind of judgment. And you are looking back and say, Lord, let me learn from this. Please raise our hand above your head. Let this altar be a place of divine visitation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did you unconsciously use your opportunity? Unconsciously. To destroy or to put aside a younger life that could have been great. You thought it was a hindrance to you and you want to get rid of him. You forgot that you are getting rid of an indestructible soul. The person is struggling somewhere, but God is saying, I can forgive you today. I can forgive you today. The other day we were in the meeting and a young man cried, can the one who murdered my wife, can God forgive me? We saw, yes, God can forgive because God does not value you with your past alone. He looks at what you can become. This morning, it's only those who cannot confess that God may not have. But if there's someone said, Lord, take my life today. Give me a new chance. God will overlook the past. God bless you. As you raise that hand above your head, please stand on your feet. Let's stand together in prayer. Let this morning be a matter. A day that we're saying, let this altar, let this end this struggle. When we started in the morning and God was saying, ministry, with accountability in view, we could see what it means. For this day, God is saying, an altar again has been provided where the atonement will be activated, the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I bless some of us that it was because of your own immoral life that a young girl has now become the way as she's now speaking about with so many, many, many. Because so if a pastor violated me, what else am I keeping? We don't know where that soul is now. But God is demanding. We will cry and say, Lord, help me to recover that debt. But as you confess before God today, I say, Lord, let this altar end this. I didn't know the gravity of what I did. Have mercy on me. Thank you. God bless you. Let me request that we will just walk towards the altar together. And I'm going to ask the pastor, like, please come with him. Please come. Please come. Please come. Come to this altar. My brother, come. My sister, come. Let this altar be the end of this matter. Some children have been damaged. Some young people that will have been graced by this covenant. Some were excommunicated just to get rid of them because they are the one who opposed you at the time. The Lord is saying, I could see cleanse you. I can still give you a new beginning. I can still do a new thing for you. I can do it. God bless you. Sometimes you know as a man of God, we took the advantage of the vulnerability of numbers. When we began to see the level of immorality that goes on in the ministry, we say, how does this happen? Because the people will not resist us. They believe that you are a man of God. Please don't hide it. Bring it before the altar. Let's soak it under the blood this morning. Let's soak it under the blood. You might think, well, it was one thing, but it has given room to so many, many misbehaviors in the life of those people. They have concluded that the ministry is not useful. We must correct it. God bless you. Thank you. Just come before the Lord.